Well, the demographic transition, the fact that the technologically advanced countries have lowered their birth rate, it's a number of reasons for that. Oh, the result of this is that if the rest of the world also underwent a demographic transition, it would be all to the good. The trouble is that the underdeveloped nations are at starting populations far higher than the advanced nations were when they went through the demographic transition. They are increasing far faster than those nations were, and furthermore, those nations had empty spaces to expand into. We can't wait for the demographic transition. Now, if you're trying to say that the fact that the more advanced nations have lowered their population increase to the point that they're gaining only slowly means they're becoming weaker with respect, no, that's wrong. Well, yeah. And what's going to happen is that India is going to be bursting with starving people. That's what it's going to be bursting with. And in order to achieve some kind of stable world, we're going to have to eliminate vast differences in economic levels. Now, this is probably the last generation in which the United States is going to have a standard of living much higher than that of the rest of the world. Either the technological civilization of the world will be destroyed and our standard of living with it, or else there is going to be a kind, and this is a sort of a small chance, I'm afraid, but it's the best chance, there's going to be a kind of stable world in which it's going to be important to remove, as far as possible, gross inequities in standard of living. Not because we in the United States are going to be overcome by attack of guilt and say, oh gee, we've lived in the fat of the land too long. Not because we're going to be overcome by generosity and say we can't stand having more than you, but simply because any other form of world is going to be unstable. And to have anything at all, we are going to have to accept some reduction in our standard of living. It's tough, frankly. It's a lot tougher for some of you, for the young people today, than for me. With luck, I'll be dead in 18 years or so. Well, okay, go ahead. Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But, you know, in the past, there have been attempts to prevent what would seem to be a natural equalization, protective tariffs and all kinds of things. But this will become more and more difficult all the time. For instance, you know, there's incredible sums flowing into the Arab nations now as a result of the oil that we have to have. I understand the Central American nations are getting together to raise the price on bananas, but somebody said to them the Americans are not going to line up into long lines to buy bananas. But, you know, that means they're getting the idea. Well, for the following reasons. First place, to get the oil from the untapped sources is going to take time. It can't be done tomorrow. And it's going to be very expensive. So that the price will go up tremendously. Secondly, even though we can get by without the Arabs for a while, if we're careful, they're all our allies, all our traditional friends, all our friends for many, many years, at least 30, whom we have depended upon to be on our side. I don't wonder how many people remember the days when the United Nations, there were exactly five nations on the side of the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union always had to use its veto because it couldn't get any votes. Had a veto. And we sneered at them for vetoing. We figured it was wicked of them to veto. Why didn't they accept defeat gracefully? Well now, we don't have a friend in the world anymore. All our friends need oil. And they forget about the Marshall Plan and our nobility and our decency and the way we save them. All they want to know is where they're getting their oil. And we can't supply them oil. That's the thing. We have no oil for them. So they are no longer our friends, and Kissinger keeps calling them names. Now, we may be able to get along without the Arab oil if we're careful for a while, but can we get along without friends? So that's why we're trying to get the Arabs not to be our enemies, because if they're our enemies, we lose our friends. It's a very difficult diplomatic situation in which one can laugh if one were a Martian. Which in the space of just a few years, we're friendly only with our enemies. And we're enemies with our friends. And this entire thing is oil. And it's going to get worse. Well, it won't be straightened out easily. I tell you right now, there will always be people who object every step of the way. There has never been any, what shall I say, there has never been any move towards whatever you want to call it, justice, equity, decency, that hasn't had its opposition, strong opposition, always in the name of justice, equity, never saying I'm a selfish bastard, never. There's always some decent reason for it, so that nothing will be done easily, nothing. Everything will be done at the price of disaster, either to avert a clear disaster staring us in the face or to get out of a disaster that is already struck. We cannot escape scot-free. The choices we have ahead of us are total destruction or else a sufficiently small amount of destruction to allow at least some kind of reconstruction. Now, it is possible to have a really bad catastrophe that will never allow reconstruction at all. People say, oh well, what's the worst can happen? There'll be a dark age. But we'll recover, we always have. Wrong. There's never been a dark age like this. In past history, there have what we've called dark ages have been limited in areas. Whenever we had an area in a dark age, there have always been untouched lands all around. Some lands are high civilizations. The best dark age we know is between the 6th century and the 11th century, 6th and 10th century in Western Europe, when there was a dark age. But at that very time, the Arab world was in a high state of civilization. The Byzantine Empire was rich and powerful. It was just Western Europe that was in the dark age. And it was from these civilized areas that the rays of light came in that resulted eventually in the High Middle Ages and in the Renaissance. But now if there's a dark age, it'll be the whole world. No place will escape. Secondly, previous dark ages just meant a loss of books, a loss of learning, a loss of records. The material resources of the world were untouched. Now if there's a dark age, it'll come after the population of the world has grown to a quantity which will rape the earth, in which all the oil will have been burnt, in which all the easily available coal will have been destroyed, in which all the easily available metals which will have been spread dilutely over the world, in which perhaps in the last days there may even have been a nuclear war forced by desperate men, so that lots of the world would be radioactive perhaps. And as a result, the very physical basis of the technological civilization will have been destroyed. And it may be that mankind would never be able to recover. That this is the only, one and only technological civilization mankind will ever see. And it must be preserved at all costs. And that is why I say that we must fight for it, to save it even by a hair. And the issue is now. There is no time. If the turnabout doesn't come definitely in the next 30 years, in our lifetimes, then it's never going to come. Why are they lifting the embargo? Because it doesn't really do the Arabs any good to force the world into an economic decline. They'll go down with it. They're trying for a short-term benefit. They want as far as possible to destroy Israel. Now, they have done a little in that direction. They have forced disengagement with Egypt. There's going to be disengagement with Syria. They've made sure that Israel has only one friend in the world, which is the United States, and the United States isn't very, there's a limit to its friendship. Furthermore, now, the world knows what an Arab embargo can do. From here on in, I suspect that the Arabs will be threatening embargo every 3 months. Any time. Suddenly decide they don't like the way the Premier of France has shaved his mustache. They're going to threaten an embargo, and the Premier of France is going to quick grow his mustache again. That's the way. They don't need to keep it on anymore. Well, no, I'm not really convinced. I'm sure that our noble and loyal oil companies are playing this for all they can get. I mean, they have the equivalent of income tax deductions too. You know, they're all in it for themselves, like even our highest and noblest. But I was just wondering if my upper lip was sweating. It isn't. It's called clear conscience. But how much ever the oil companies may be trying to get personal benefit, like carrion crows, you know, out of the danger, the fact remains there is danger. They may be manipulating it, maneuvering it, making it worse than it needs to be right now, but it is not completely manufactured out of whole cloth. The amount of oil is limited, and it's going to become more limited, and we're going to have to find alternate sources of energy. And if it hadn't been for the oil embargo and the manipulations of the oil companies, we might have gone on, the general public, not realizing this. So that although they mean evil, they're doing good. However, I want them punished for meaning evil. Okay, I hate to stop short, but I have to catch a train back to New York. So I'll say one more question, if someone can think of a good embarrassing one right there. What I would like to see is the development of fusion power. There is an unlimited amount of fusion power available. It isn't geographically limited. Everyone can have it. It is safe. I am convinced that it's perfectly safe. And we're this close to it scientifically. The main problem is engineering. It may take 30 years of engineering, actually, to make it practical on a long-term basis. But if we can develop fusion power, I think that our energy problem will be fundamentally solved. There'll be many other problems. We won't be in paradise, but at least there'll be one problem solved. So I'm looking forward to holding out for 30 years somehow for fusion. Okay?